Now, will you please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that we read a little earlier, Psalm 30, in the Pew Bibles. You'll find it helpful to have the Pew Bibles open in front of you, because I will be referring to verses and drawing your attention to verses in this psalm. And in the Pew Bibles, it's page 461, 461, Psalm 30. I wonder if you are the type of person that your mind goes back to events in the past. I think there are some of us who by nature, we go over events in the past. You know, you're lying awake in the night, or you're sitting at the airport and it's an hour before you board your flight, or you're on a long journey, and you've read all the books you want to read and you just want to sit there. And as you sit there, you think, some people, I think our minds naturally go back over the past. I wonder if you're that sort of person. Or are you the kind of person who never thinks about the past? I must admit, I thought we all did that. And then I met somebody this week and they said to me, I never think about the past. And I thought, well, maybe you don't. Well, in this psalm, David goes back over the past. There is a significant event in the life of David. It says at the beginning of the psalm, a psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. I wonder if you frowned a little when you read that little bit, a song at the dedication of the temple. Because if you know your Old Testament history, you will know that actually there was no temple in Jerusalem during the time of David. The temple was built by his son Solomon. And Solomon offered a superb prayer to God at the dedication of the temple. However, in the time of David, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was a wooden case that signified the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem, and a temporary structure, which in the Bible is called the Tent of David, was constructed. It was temporary. And in Isaiah and in Amos and in Acts, it's called the Tent of David. And this psalm was written when that event happened. It is a huge event in the life of David. I expect you all know about the event because of what David did when the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem. Let me ask you this. Does anybody remember what David did as the Ark was being brought to Jerusalem? Linda? He danced before the Lord. Do you remember that? You know, it says that as the Ark was being brought, David danced before the Lord. And do you remember, does anybody remember the response of one of his wives, Michal? Yes, Priscilla? She despised him. She was disgusted with him. But he danced to the Lord. He was right to do so. And she said, you're the king. And you should have marched in majestic robes before the ark or after the ark. You don't dance. And he says, but I was filled with joy. It was a significant day for him, you see, because he loved the Lord. And the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, was now in Jerusalem. And this was his capital. This is where his house was. And he built this temporary structure. And on that day, David reflects on his life up to that point. If you aren't the kind of person that looks back, I commend that as a practice. It is a biblical practice. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 looks back. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 looks back. Christ looked back over events, and Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, they all go back over events in their lives. So if you aren't the kind of person who naturally thinks back, I would encourage you to do that. And if you are the kind of person, You're lying there on your bed in the night, you can't sleep, and your mind is going back over events in the past. I want to bring the teaching of this psalm to you because we have to be very careful what thoughts we have. I want to make this point very, very strongly to you this morning. When you think back over your life, be very, very careful what events, what things you bring up. Because our memories can be a great blessing to us, or our memories can depress us, discourage us, and defeat us. We have to be careful. We have to be selective. We have to have selective memories. Don't have memories of those things which will discourage you, which will defeat you. Don't bring up those events in the past and say, well, as Mike said in his family talk, you know, things were so much better in the past and things aren't so good. Things were so much better in my life, in the life of the church, and things aren't so good today. Don't do that. Discipline your memory. Force your memory and say to your memory, I'm not going to think about those things. Do you know that's a biblical command? In the Bible it says, do not say the former days were better. Don't say that. That's a command from the Bible. Don't say to yourself, the former days were so much better. Do you know the human memory can play tricks on us? There's an incredible passage in the Bible. The people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. And they were being tortured. And they were being ill-treated. They had terrible lives in Egypt. And they cried out to God for deliverance. And they say to him, we're having terrible lives. We're being destroyed. We're being tortured. Will you not deliver us from this? And God delivered them from Egypt. And they were in the wilderness. And do you know what they said once they were in the wilderness? How much better things were in Egypt. How wonderful life was in Egypt. Well, life wasn't wonderful in Egypt. But the human memory plays tricks on us. And human memory says things were so much better in the past. They weren't. But the memory plays tricks. Well, this passage is important, this psalm, because it tells us when you do go back over the past, what should you remember? What should you remember? You're lying there on your bed. And you're thinking over the past. What should you bring to mind? How should you discipline your memory so that there are certain things you bring to mind? Well, there are certain things that David remembers, and I want to bring them to your attention this morning. In the first place, David gives thanks to God for answered prayer. David gives thanks to God for answered prayer. Verses 1 to 3. I will extol you, O Lord. It's a very strong Hebrew word. It isn't just, I will give thanks. It isn't even just, I will praise. The word extol is a good word. I will lift you up in my heart and in my mind. I will have the highest thoughts possible for the human mind to have. I will extol you, O Lord. For you have pulled me up. You have drawn me up. You've not let my foes rejoice over me. Verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Do you know, David had huge problems in his life. He was a shepherd boy. And he was quite very, very suddenly, in a remarkable event, he was made the king of Israel. He was literally brought from tending sheep into his hometown, and Samuel the prophet anointed him king over Israel. And his troubles began because the man who was king didn't want to give up the throne, and for 10 years, he pursued David in the wilderness, intending to kill him. For 10 years, David is on the run. And finally, when he becomes king, the nation isn't a united nation. For 7 years, the nation is a divided nation. Some people wanted him as king, others didn't want him as king. And this civil war went on for 7 years before finally the nation becomes united. But David looks back over all those years, and David says, there were so many times that I was in desperate trouble. The armies of Israel, the king wouldn't give up the throne, and the armies of Israel were against me, and they were chasing me in the wilderness, and I was hiding in the caves, and they had me cornered, and there seemed to be no way out. Or there were times when I took refuge among the Philistines, and we were in danger all the time. Or even when I became king, there was civil war in Israel, and the tribes were against me, and they could declare war on me at any time. There was always danger facing David, but he says, the number of times I prayed and God answered prayer. The next time you're going over in your mind to events in the past, don't say to yourself, things were so much better in the past, it'll only depress you. Say to yourself, God has answered prayer, and bring to your memory the times you prayed and God answered. Bring them up. They are there. If they're not there, there's something very wrong in your Christian life. I cannot believe that there's no person here who says, I've never had an answer to prayer. I cannot believe that. Surely when Mike said, how many of us have had answers to prayer, we should all have raised our hand. We could all do. I understand we didn't, but we could all do that. And there are wonderful answers to prayer, aren't there? And when we think of life like that, you see, when we approach life like that, that God has answered prayer, how much better it is for our own frame of mind. You sit here in church on a Sunday morning, and Ada comes in skipping, and Ada is sort of running around. Now, you could say, I'm being irritated by this. I know nobody does. Or you could look at her and say, an answer to prayer. She's an answer to prayer, because she is. And we could look at all kinds of events and say, God helped us. And there have been answers to prayer. The next time you go over in your mind to your life and the events of the past and the sorrows of the past, please give thanks to God for answered prayer. That is what David does. Do you notice in this psalm, David never mentions all the trials that he had. He doesn't talk about the time when Saul was chasing him and how he was close to death and so on, and leave it there. He doesn't say, my life has been nothing but troubles, nothing but trials, nothing but difficulties. I will extol you, O Lord. So the first thing that David does in this psalm, he gives thanks to God for answered prayer. The second thing that David does in this psalm is that he gives thanks to God for grace and mercy. He gives thanks to God for grace and mercy. Look at verses 4 and 5. These are lovely verses. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints. So now he's not talking to himself. He's now talking to the people of Israel. This was obviously a psalm written to be sung in the temple, because so many of these psalms were being sung in the temple. And so he's addressing the people of Israel, and he says to the people of Israel, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. Why? Well, look at verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Yes, God disciplines his children. If we sin and willfully sin, God will discipline us because he loves us. And we sometimes feel the heavy hand of God in discipline. But it is for a moment. But the love of God and the favor of God is for a lifetime. Actually, it is for eternity. lifetime, it doesn't just mean life here on earth. Of course, he's not saying that the favor of God ceases the moment we die. Actually, the favor of God and the mercies of God are escalated in heaven. What are the saints in heaven doing? Enjoying the favor of God, enjoying the mercies of God. So the mercies of God and the favor of God and the blessings of God are for a lifetime. Yes, we have trials here on earth. And yes, we face the discipline of God. And yes, things go wrong. But you know, you have to look at everything in perspective. Look at your Christian life. Some of you here, you've been Christians decades. Look over your Christian life. And I say this to you, and I guarantee it. The times of blessing, the times of joy, have far outweighed the times of trials and tribulations. I promise you that. I've been preparing for this psalm, and I've been thinking about my own life and looking back over the years. Now, we've all had tremendous times of difficulty. Of course we have. But, you know, I went back to the time when I became a Christian and I thought, what a blessing. You know, I was stuck in Hinduism and in this dark religion, no hope, no joy in life. And God in grace saves me. God in grace saved you. There was a day when the Holy Spirit came to you. And the mercies of God poured into your heart. And Christ came. And you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you were saved from your sin. You became born again. What a day that was. What a blessing. Now you can go back to that. Always go back to that. And always say to God, you saved me from my sin. Never forget the wonder of that. God has saved you. God has brought you out of darkness. God has brought you out of slavery. God no longer holds your sin against you. Your sins are forgiven. You were headed for hell. You are now headed for heaven. Isn't that something to give praise to God for? So God has been gracious and merciful. And the grace of God doesn't end on the day of conversion. They begin on the day of conversion. The day that you became born again, the grace and mercy of God began to pour into your life. And he brought you into a church. And he made you a member of the church. You became a member of God's family. And the care of God's people. And all through your life, all the various events of your life, the grace of God and the mercy of God. In Psalm 23, David says, doesn't he? I mean, we know these words so well. But he says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Because he's known that in the past, you see. And so when he wrote Psalm 23, he says, I've known that the presence of God has been with me, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You have been with me. So he says, well, if you've been with me even through the valley of the shadow of death, well, surely the goodness and mercies of God will follow me all the days of my life. God has been good to you. God has blessed you. God has been gracious to you. God has been kind to you. God has saved you from your sins. God has given you a place in heaven. God has forgiven you all your sins. God has given you his family. God is your Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. The Holy Spirit lives in you and is transforming you into his image. Think of all those blessings of God. Why are we dredging into from our memories things that depress us and discourage us and defeat us? Why on earth are we doing that? Why are we bringing back to our memories things that condemn us, sins of the past, and we relive those sins and we condemn us? Why on earth are we doing that? That's a terrible abuse of the memory. The memory is a precious gift from God. Well, let's use it for the glory of God. So as David looks back, he gives thanks to God for answered prayer. And as David looks back, he gives thanks to God for his grace and mercy. Thirdly, as David looks back, he gives thanks to God for the times of joy and gladness. Look at the last two verses, verses 11 and 12. I will come back to the middle verses in a minute. But look at verses 11 to 12. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praises and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You see what he's doing? He's being very, very selective. And it is right to be selective. Be selective in your memory. And go back to those times of joy. Now, there have been wonderful times in your Christian life. You're not going to tell me that from the moment you became a born-again Christian, your life has been miserable. Rubbish. You're not going to tell me your life has been drudgery and really no fun at all. Rubbish. That's denying God. God wants his children to be happy. And God fills our lives with joy. God sends his Holy Spirit to us, and the Holy Spirit brings joy to our lives. And God sends his love upon us, and his love lifts our hearts in praise and worship and joy. And there have been times in your Christian lives when you have been elevated into wonderful praises to God. Go back to those times. Remember those times when you knew the blessings of God. When you knew the wonderful works of God, when you knew tremendous power in serving God, go back to those. Be selective in your memory. Why are we choosing things that depress us? No. David looks back and he says, well, yes, there were times when Saul chased me. And there were times when I was in a cave and I was starving and the soldiers were against me. And I was king, but the nation was divided and there was civil war. But he says, yes, those times were there, but there were times of tremendous joy. You turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Isn't that a lovely phrase? Clothed me with gladness. Do you know that is the testimony of every Christian? I think we just sometimes don't recognize what God has done for us. Do you remember Psalm 103, again a psalm of David? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now the word benefits means blessings. Because David knows we have a tendency to forget the blessings. And that is why he wrote in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his blessings. And in that psalm, he records the blessings of God, doesn't he? You have healed me, and you have restored me, and you have crowned my life with goodness, and you have pulled me out of the pit. All the great blessings of God, he takes his mind to them, and he reminds them of those great blessings. Why don't you do that? Why don't we do that every time we go back over our lives? The blessings that God has poured out upon us. So what does David do when he remembers? He gives thanks to God for answered prayer. He gives thanks to God for his grace and mercy. He gives thanks to God for times of joy and gladness. And then fourthly and finally, David prays to the Lord for future blessings. He prays to the Lord for future blessings. Look particularly at verses 8 to 10. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. Verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You see, selective memory will either depress and discourage us or fuel prayer. Now, which is better? Which would you rather have? Surely, you want memory that fuels prayer. This is what has happened here, isn't it? David has been going back over his life and remembering all the times God answered prayer and all the times God was gracious and merciful, all the times of joy. And so it fuels his prayer. So he isn't lying on his bed getting depressed. He isn't lying on his bed beating himself up about his failures. He's not doing any of that. He's praying. Isn't that a better way to use your time? Isn't that a better way to use those hours when you can't sleep? Rather than beating yourself up about your failures, isn't it better to pray? Well, fuel your prayer life by going over all the blessings. And so David says, Lord, you've been good to me in the past. In the past, you've heard prayer and answered. In the past, you've been gracious and merciful. Well, I'm going to cry to you. And I'm going to plead. You see those strong words in verse 8. To you, O Lord, I cry. To the Lord, I plead for mercy. Hear, O Lord, verse 10, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. This is superb use of memory. Remember the good things. Remember the goodness of God. Remember the blessings of God. And use all of that as fuel for prayer. What a lovely way to spend an hour or two meditating on the past, giving thanks to God, and then praying to God for future blessings. David remembers. Well, may we remember in a way that honors and brings glory to our God. Let's pray.